How else, other than with a gun, can one easily kill a dozen people in just a few minutes? It's difficult and risky to build a bomb, and you can't just buy one at your local Walmart. And a knife attack is much easier to stop. Mass stabbings have certainly occurred, but they do not claim anywhere near the number of lives that guns do in the United States. Gun control. We're talking about it on this episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 21st ever episode of Jarius, Unofficial Therapist. I'm your host, Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Before we get started, I do want to say that you all can become financial supporters of this show by going to anchor.fm/tolson/support. Again, that is anchor.fm/tolson/support. Now let's get into the verbal disclaimer. This episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist is not for those without an open mind. From the title, you already know that this topic is something that many of you will not be able to listen to and understand the severity of. This episode covers a very controversial topic of gun control. Opinions stated in this episode are those of solely Jarius and not of Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Radio Public, Google, Apple, or anyone else. Viewer discretion is advised. Nowhere in the world is gun control more controversial than in the United States, where gun possession is constitutionally protected, but where murders, including mass murders, committed with guns are extremely common. The United States has by far the highest homicide by firearm rate among developed countries. Proponents of increased gun control in the United States argue that limiting access to guns will save lives and reduce crime. Opponents insist that it would actually do the opposite by preventing law-abiding citizens from defending themselves against armed criminals. In the United States, mass murders committed with guns are so frequent that the vast majority of them are not even mentioned in mainstream media outlets. Those that happen to be massive or heinous enough to gain national attention, including the murder of 49 people in an Orlando nightclub in 2016 and the massacre of 20 children and 6 adults at an elementary school in Newton, Connecticut in 2012, typically spark a short-lived and fruitless debate about the need for stricter gun control. Politicians of both major parties, fearful of retaliation from the National Rifle Association, solemnly offer their thoughts and prayers while refusing to enact reasonable and constitutional measures now favored by a majority of Americans, such as expanded background checks for gun purchases and the reinstatement of a federal ban on assault weapons, which Congress allowed to lapse in 2004. Here's what presidential incumbent and Republican Donald Trump had to say about gun control after the mass shooting at the South Texas church.
You've talked about wanting to put extreme vetting on people trying to come into the United States, but I wonder if you would consider extreme vetting for people trying to buy a gun.
Trying to what?
Buy a gun.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a situation that probably shouldn't be discussed too much right now. We could let a little time go by, but it's okay if you feel that that's an appropriate question, even though we're the heart of South Korea. I will certainly answer your question. If you did what you're suggesting, there would have been no difference 3 days ago. And you might not have had that very brave person who happened to have a gun or a rifle in his truck go out and shoot him and hit him and neutralize him. And I can only say this. If he didn't have a gun, instead of having 26 dead, he would have had hundreds more dead. So that's the way I feel about it.
And are you
not going to help?
And are you considering any kind of gun control policy going forward?
And you look at the city with the strongest gun laws in our nation is Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is a disaster. It's a total disaster. Just remember, if this man didn't have a gun or a rifle, you'd be talking about a much worse situation in the great state of Texas. Thank you.
And here's what Democratic presidential nominee and former Vice President Joe Biden had to say about gun control in an interview with CBS in 2016.
We have seen in Orlando another terrible terrorist attack. In fact, the largest mass killing in America's history. It brings to the fore once again gun control. Are you any more optimistic that at long last some changes may take place?
Slightly, Charlie, but I do think that at a minimum on matters relating to people on the terrorist watch list being able to purchase a weapon, as well as possibly tighter background checks could pass this time.
And could it pass a House of Representatives?
I don't know, but all I know is that you've got to continue to try. It will eventually pass.
Some will argue that if someone is intent on doing great violence, they will find a gun.
Let's assume that's true, okay? Whether they find a gun or they find the equivalent of an AR-15 depends on how much damage they can do. It's like you hear, if they don't have a gun, they'll get a baseball bat or a knife or whatever. Well, they're not going to kill as many people. They're not going to get to as many people. And if you have multiple rounds and magazines that hold 19 shots, and you essentially go boom, 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 you know, as opposed to, you know, like everybody thinks of the Western, the old six shooter, you know, you got to take it out and you got to work it again. It matters. It matters the amount of carnage that can occur as a consequence of what type of weapon.
But let's talk about what happens when there is a mass shooting. Public figures will undoubtedly continue to relay their thoughts and prayers, but this is the reality. Shootings where a great many people are slaughtered are now normal in the United States. This will continue until we all agree to stricter gun laws and fewer guns. Until then, all those who fight against sensible gun legislation have no business simply expressing their sympathies. They offer just words, which at this point are beyond meaningless. It really is simple. Stricter gun laws and fewer guns mean fewer deaths. They mean fewer mass shootings. The United States is an outlier among peaceful developed nations in our tremendous number of mass shootings. This is because we are an outlier among peaceful developed nations in the number of guns we have, which is exacerbated by the ease of getting them and the relaxed rules regulating them. That's it. Any moderately sensible person of any political disposition knows it. They know it even though funding for research on gun violence has been stifled for decades. And you could thank the National Rifle Association for that one. Guns are the cause of a majority of homicides in the United States. Yes, people who want to kill can find other ways, but those other ways often require a lot more effort. And again, any sensible person knows this. And then there's the great toll of suicide by gun. According to the CDC, the majority of deaths from guns in 2016 were suicides. One study found that most people who survived a suicide attempt did not deliberate over their decisions for very long. 71% said they thought about it for less than an hour. 24% said their deliberations lasted less than five minutes. If a gun is readily available, a hasty decision could more likely be made permanent. And while pro-gun advocates often tout the importance of self-protection, studies show that bringing a gun into the home puts everyone at a greater risk. Plenty of people like guns. Guns can be fun to shoot. A lot of people hunt for sport. A relatively small number of gun owners need their guns to, say, defend livestock from predators. But most gun owners do not need their guns. Many say they need to self-protect, but stricter gun control laws would mean fewer bad guys with guns to protect oneself from. We would all be safer. The NRA and other gun rights proponents claim that if guns are restricted, only outlaws and bad guys will have guns. But if it were harder to buy guns, they would also stay out of the hands of irresponsible men and women whose negligent treatment of their weapons result in a great number of deaths and injuries every year, many of which would involve children. Many criminals, too, aren't the plotting masterminds we imagine them to be. A tougher road to gun ownership would mean that impetuous gun crimes or crimes of passion would simply be less likely to happen. We as a country face a choice. Every gun owner and gun proponent faces a choice. We can allow easy access to guns and the fun they bring and let people enjoy the sense of power and control and masculinity guns offer in exchange for that pat emotional comfort thousands upon thousands of Americans will continue to die unnecessarily. Or we can agree that the only way to prevent gun violence and gun deaths is to regulate guns, sacrificing the illusion that a gun equals freedom is probably worth it. The question of what sensible gun legislation looks like is one that politicians still need to hash out. But first, we need everyone at the table. Today's Republican Party won't take a seat because too many are deeply in the pocket of the craven gun industry. The gun industry and the NRA know that their product is the problem, which is why they push for special legal protections. They would be ashamed if they had any shame. This all just goes to prove that everyone who is able to needs to get out and vote. Election day is November 3rd. That's 45 days away. You all can go and register to vote and even check your registration status at whenweallvote.org or vote.org. Finally, thank you all for listening to this episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist.